Thank you. That's fine. We probably all know that relationships can be hard work, and sometimes nowhere more so than in a marriage. Maintaining love and connection with a partner doesn't always come easily. It's not just that familiarity can breed contempt or a growing sense of being taken for granted, but even when you do make an effort to express love, it can sometimes feel like it's falling on deaf ears. Hold on to that thought for a moment. I will come back to it. But if maintaining a marriage relationship can be difficult, what about maintaining a relationship with God? Our reading from Deuteronomy chapter 6 that Winnie brought us this morning tells us in words that are oh so familiar that they probably just washed over you as you heard them again, that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. Might it be that familiarity has bred contempt, that we are taking God for granted? Might it even be that when we meet together and express our love for God by joining in worship in church, then it feels like it's just falling on deaf ears? Let's get back to marriage, and I appreciate it can be a sensitive subject, and of course there are many reasons why a marriage might break down, but I'm thinking of the cooling of a relationship before a breakdown. If you personally are affected by this and you're beyond that point or right in the middle of it, please do seek help. But how can we maintain a healthy, loving relationship when the first flush of romance is a distant memory? One helpful resource is the book, The Five Love Languages. The Secret, what's the subtitle? The Secret to Love That Lasts by Gary Chapman. And his basic promise is that we're all different in how we express love, and we're all different in how we expect to be loved, how we receive love. And that if we are in a long-term committed relationship and we fail to recognize that our partner is different from us, if we've failed to express our love in a way that they expect to be loved, then we may feel unvalued and they may feel unloved. He likens this difference in the way that we give and receive or expect to receive love to speaking in a different language to one another. If I only spoke Italian, which I don't, by the way, so don't come back to me in Italian. If I only spoke Italian and you only spoke English, our communication is going to be somewhat stilted, isn't it? We would need to learn each other's language in order to communicate properly, in order to feed a relationship. And likewise, we need to learn each other's love language to deepen a relationship. In his book, Gary Chapman identifies five different main types of love language. Words of affirmation, so encouragement, affirmation, empathy, active listening to one another. Quality time, uninterrupted and focused one-on-one time together. Uninterrupted, without interruptions. Physical touch, non-verbal communication expressed in sensitive and appropriate touch. Acts of service, selfless deeds for the sake of the other. And receiving and giving gifts, thoughtfulness in gifts and gestures. it's very likely that in our marriages or in any other long-term committed relationship, we will find that we each give, these five different love languages different priorities. Maybe some of them are so far down the list, we don't even recognize them as a love language. And unless we learn to speak our partner's love language, we may well feel that our words and actions are falling on deaf ears. We may think that we're being loving, but they just don't hear it that way because they don't understand our language. And quite possibly their expressions of love to us are in their love language, which isn't so meaningful to us. The result? Well, neither party feels loved. Both feel like they're trying, but getting nowhere. So back to loving God. We're told to love God, but how do we do that? What does it look like? What expressions of love does God appreciate? How do we maintain a healthy, loving relationship with God? And the question really is, what are God's love languages? Have we taken the time to learn to speak those languages, to become fluent? Are we still doing baby babbling? Or have we learned to speak his language and therefore express love for God? Jesus tells us that the commandments to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves are the most important commandments. In Matthew 22:40, he says that all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments, all the law and the prophets. He says that most of the Old Testament, the law is shorthand for the first five books of the Bible, the prophets, another 23 in the Old Testament. Most of the Old Testament hangs on the commandments to love. Don't worry, I'm not going to preach through 28 books of the Old Testament this morning. But in total, across just the books of the law, the Pharisees identified a total of 248 commandments and 365 prohibitions. And they believed that if they obeyed all, how many is that, 611, then they would be okay with God. What Jesus said is that just two commandments to love are head and shoulders above the rest. Everything else is just an outworking of those two commands to love God, to love our neighbor. Now, Jesus says really that the 22 chapters that follow Winnie's reading in Deuteronomy, which are 22 chapters rammed full of commands and prohibitions, that really what they're about is not the things we ought to do in order to be able to tick them off, say, yeah, done, in order to please God. They're about how we express our love for God. They're about how we should love God. Now, not many of the specifics of those 22 chapters are so relevant to us today, because a lot of it is rooted in their culture. So we need to look behind the specifics that were appropriate to their setting and say, well, what are the principles? What are the principles that will enable us to say, this is how we express our love for God? This is what it looks like. I'm very grateful to a guy called Phil Moore and a book called Straight to the Heart of Moses. In this book, Phil Moore analyzes those 22 chapters and identifies five key principles about how we should love God. And in effect, they are God's five love languages. Whoops, didn't mean to go quite that far. God's love languages. Five languages that we need to learn to speak if we are to fulfill that command to love God with all our heart, soul, and strength. So what are God's five love languages? They're different from our love languages to a partner. They are trust, obedience, family life, generosity, and justice and mercy. Firstly, trust. We are to show our love for God by trusting him with our past, with our present, and with our future. We show a lack of love when we are anxious because we don't trust that God has got us in the palm of his hand, when we don't trust that God works out all things for the good of those who love him. But we show that we do love him by trusting in his love for us, whatever life may throw our way. Love language two, obedience. Did you notice the link between love and obedience in Jesus' words in our gospel reading? If you love me, keep my commands. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. We express our love for God by doing what he asks, which of course raises the question, well, what does he ask? Well, you could start by looking at the Sermon on the Mount. There you would find teaching about, for example, storing up treasures in heaven rather than on earth, about not looking at anyone lustfully, about loving your enemies, and the list goes on and on. The point is that what Jesus asks of us is both a sign and a test of our love for him. And Jesus himself modeled obedience in his relationship with the Father. He expressed his love for the Father by obeying all that the Father asked of him. But he knows that it doesn't come easily. And in the full version, what Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you, to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Obedience matters, and the Holy Spirit is there alongside you to help you. We will fail. We won't get it right all the time. But God gives us his Spirit to be with us forever, to help us through those times. Love language three is family life. As we heard that familiar passage in Deuteronomy being read, did you notice how embedded family life is in that passage, in our daily walk with God? Moses wrote that God's commandments are so that you and your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God and enjoy long life. He wrote, impress these commandments on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. The nuclear family is a God-given structure. And valuing the family and prioritizing nurturing children in the faith is one way in which we show our love for God. That's obviously easier to apply for those of us who live in a nuclear family. But for all of us in the New Testament, the church is described as the family of God. We are the family of God. We all live in a family, in this family. Whether or not we have a nuclear family around us, we can express our love for God both by playing our part in nurturing the children of the church and by loving each other as members of the same family. One of our key priorities for the next vicar is that they should come with the gifts to reignite our children and families ministry. Family life needs to be at the heart of who we are. It's important to us. It expresses our corporate love for God if we invest in nurturing young people. Very briefly, love language four is generosity. We have a generous God, and when we are generous, we are speaking his love language. And language five is justice and mercy. And we seek justice, especially for the oppressed or the marginalized. And when we're merciful towards those who have wronged us, then we are speaking God's language of love. We choose to love God when we choose to value the things that he values. Love for God is not an emotion, it's not an emotional response, it's a choice, the way we express our lives, the way we live our lives. When we choose to speak his love languages, when we choose to trust him, we choose to be obedient to the things he asks of us, when we choose to value and prioritize family life and nurturing children in the faith, when we choose to be generous, when we choose to practice justice and mercy in all of our dealings, then we are choosing to express our love for God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what it means to love the Lord our God. Notice there's nothing in there about performing any religious ritual. There's nothing about worshipping together or on our own. Well, much of the Old Testament law does concern festivals and sacrifices and religious ritual, if you like. But they are secondary to expressing our love for God by the way we live 24/7. In fact, the prophets were later to tell the Israelites that God hated their sacrifices, hated their religious assemblies, because their lifestyles showed that it was nothing more than ritual. It was not about expressing love for God. Expressing love for God by the way we live 24/7 comes first, expressing it corporately through worship is something we're encouraged to do, but love for God comes first. What we do in the church on the Sunday morning is very important, but what we do outside for the rest of the week, 24/7, daily lives, matters much more because it shows how much we truly love God. So that when we come together, we are truly expressing love for God, not just a ritual that we're going through, not just a form of words, not just words that just come out of our mouths without coming from our hearts. It's not easy. Nobody claims that loving God is easy. We won't always get it right, and God understands that. And that's why Jesus has promised to send us the Holy Spirit to help us. We need the Holy Spirit if we're to speak God's love languages. Like in a marriage, the outcome is so much better if we do learn the love language. It takes effort. It's a 24/7 task. Nobody else can do it for us. But when we truly love God, when we learn to speak his languages, we will also know what it is to be truly loved by God. That is life-changing. That is so significant that we will just give ourselves willingly when we really understand to loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, because we just bask in his love and are so grateful for it. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, you love us. We know that. You sent your Son to die for us, to express that love in self-sacrifice. And though we know how much you love us, we also recognize that our love for you is intermittent, spasmodic. Sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not. You forgive us and fill us once again with your Holy Spirit to stir our hearts, to love you in ways which you value, to love you through trusting you, obeying you, valuing family life and nurturing children through generosity, justice and mercy. Help us to put these values at the core of how we live and thereby express our love for you 24/7 with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind and all our strength, all the time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.